Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation, as well as the big MLB topics, along with the biggest names, greatest guests, and listener interaction on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, and always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome in. This is Inside the Clubhouse on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Alongside Bruce Levine, I'm Mike Esposito, and for David Haugh this week, and glad to be here with you. Lots going on in Chicago baseball. The White Sox make a big trade, and the Shohei Ohtani rumors continue, my friend. Welcome in, Bruce.
Welcome to you as well, Mike, and welcome to our great listeners inside the clubhouse with you every Saturday, 52 weeks out of the year, talking Chicago baseball, 312-644-6767. That's our interactive line. We are always interactive here. David Haugh taking a little time off in the wintertime. Mike sitting in, doing a great job. I call Mike the Ben Zobrist of sports radio, okay? He can do it all, and he does baseball great. And we are pleased that you join us today. Again, 312-644-6767. A huge week, Mike, in Chicago baseball, starting with the press conference that was live on The Score Monday from Wrigley Field, announcing the new manager, Craig Counsell, of the Chicago Cubs. All that winding down to yesterday with the big trade of the Chicago White Sox. Aaron Bummer going to the Atlanta Braves for five different players from the Atlanta Braves. We'll discuss all of that with you throughout the next 2 hours. Again, our phone number, 312-644-6767. And Mike, the huge news on the north side this week as well. Shohei Ohtani and the Chicago Cubs have made it clear that it's all about them and the Dodgers being involved. The Cubs haven't made it known, but social media and all sources that I have and other people have insist that it could be Dodgers, Cubs all the way when it comes to getting a deal done for Ohtani, which will be a record-setting deal.
Absolutely, Bruce, and I know Cubs fans are very excited about the possibility, although the Ohtani people, I've read this, and you can tell us more certainly from your reporting, they've made it clear they don't want any of the meetings or any of the discussions or any of the visits, any of that playing out in the press. They don't want to see any of that from the teams.
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing about this player, the MVP of the American League, voted Thursday night unanimously, along with Ronald Acuna of the Atlanta Braves, also being unanimous. First time, Mike, in history that both leagues had unanimous winners, all 30 votes, first place votes going for those guys. And with Ohtani, you're getting a much different cat here. You're getting one of the great players in history because of what he can do pitching-wise and hitting-wise. And on top of that, you're also getting a guy who does things a little differently than other players. He doesn't do the conventional interview after every game or before every game. He's not interested in blowing his own horn. He's more interested in getting ready for each game, being involved in preparation, known as a good teammate, but just a little different person. Nonetheless, I talked to a source this week with the Los Angeles Angels, and he told me that Ohtani is worth $100 million in revenue for a team that has him. He was that for the Los Angeles Angels this past year. $100 million in revenue. So if this guy, Mike, is going to get a contract that's $50 million a year for the next 10 years, it's going to cost the team a lot. I mean, it's a big part of the payroll, but the amount of revenue, merchandising, marketing, ticket sales, international marketing, all of those things going into this make this a win-win for the player and whatever team signs Shohei Ohtani.
There's no question about it, Bruce, and the Cubs are one of the handful of teams that have all of the things that would fit on Ohtani's checklist. The big market. They will be competitive. I know, not that this is necessarily a tipping point thing for Ohtani, but certainly other Japanese players like Yu Darvish, like Seiya Suzuki, are here or have been here and have experiences on the north side with the Cubs. So that certainly has to weigh in the Cubs' favor. But as you mentioned, right, I mean, you know, the Marquee Network, all of the different business opportunities that the Cubs business side, you know, Crane Kenny and company that they have, and all the different things they could do with Shohei Ohtani as the face of the Chicago Cubs. Forgetting about his on-the-field stuff, which we know is top of the line, right? The best player in the world. I think it's pretty safe to call him that, right? After the World Baseball Classic and two MVPs and what he's done in Japan. I know Cub fans would be super excited to have him. And we do want to talk to you at 312-644-6767. You can text us at that number as well. But Ohtani brings the total package, Bruce.
He does. And let's look at from a ticket sales point of view. So the average ticket for the Chicago Cubs with going ahead with the amount of money the person spends to come to the ballpark is $100. Okay, they sold about 2.7 million tickets this year. Okay, the other 6 million tickets are going to be sold if Ohtani signs with the Cubs. Okay, Mike, so the simple math, you know, and I always pridefully talk about being a CPS student for all 9 years of grammar school and all 5 years of high school. $60 million windfall in tickets if the Cubs sell out. And there's no reason to think that Ohtani will not produce sellouts for the Chicago Cubs again starting in 2024. So that's just a windfall right there when you're talking about it. Then, as you mentioned, the marketing value, the merchandising value, the Cub jersey with Ohtani's number on it, okay, his name on it, international marketing, all those things are just enormously huge. So with that in mind, you know, we will take your calls again at 312-644-6767. But Mike, this is not a pipe dream, okay? This is a reality. The Cubs are in on this. They're not just kicking the tires. They're in. The question is, in most cases, teams decide whether or not to offer a contract to a player. In this case, the player will decide where he wants to go. He will do as much interviewing or more of the team, the front office, the people that work there, ownership, he'll do as much questioning or more than the team does themselves. So this is a very unique situation. It doesn't happen very often. It's now happened twice over the last 7 years where he's now a free agent. So it's interesting. Most people think that the Dodgers, because they're in Los Angeles, because it's 4 hours closer to Hawaii, it's 4 hours closer to Japan, supposedly, Ohtani is buying a home in Hawaii. the being 4 hours closer for him and his family and friends is significant. The weather in Los Angeles, of course, is always a selling factor. The fact that the Dodgers are a great franchise, just like the Cubs, always a selling factor. So with that in mind, it appears, you know, that they might be the front runners. I don't think they'll be the only teams that talk to them. I'm sure San Francisco, I'm sure Seattle, I'm sure there's 25 other teams that would love to talk to him. But the practicality of where he goes and where he ends up, that's going to be the interesting thing as we move just a couple weeks away from the winter meeting starting in Nashville, December the 3rd.
This is Inside the Clubhouse, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers, 312-644-6767. We should also remind you, our guest today, former Brewers General Manager Doug Melvin, will join us at the bottom of this hour talking about Craig Counsell and what he brings to the table. Melvin is the guy who hired him up in Milwaukee. We'll also talk to new Sox hitting coach Marcus Thames at the bottom of the 10 o'clock hour. Bruce, now we head out to the phones in Nashville. We find Emmett. He's up first on Inside the Clubhouse. Good morning, Emmett.
All right. Good morning, Bruce. I don't want you to jump on me, but I got a question, and it kind of relates to Greg Counsell a little bit. Well, a lot. But the first thing is, baseball has already proven, and I know you would agree, that you don't need a big time, a big name, expensive manager to win a world championship. Mm-hmm. Atlanta trusted Bruce Snick, or whatever his name is, to oversee those high, you know, value prospects. Dave Cash, Tampa Bay, and the list goes on and on. So I was wondering, why put all that money into Greg Counsell when you can divert that money into, you know, maybe a couple more free agents? Because Otani, let's face it, man, if you think Ricketts is going to outbid the Dodgers? The Dodgers are mad. You think that he's going to outbid the Dodgers for Otani?
Well, you know, Emmett, thank you for your call. It's a great, I appreciate it. And Mike, it's a good point that he brings up here, you know, that, you know, are they spending too much money going from $1.5 million paying David to paying Counsell $8 million? I think it's a drop in the bucket, okay?
Yeah.
$8 million for a head coach, okay? In football and basketball, those coaches are making more than $8 million, okay? So baseball just went through a period over the last 10 years where the managers' salaries dropped, okay? For whatever reason, they dropped to, newer managers coming in, newer front offices coming in, ownership starting at a lower price. But with Counsell, what the Cubs are getting is, they paid for what they consider the best manager in the game, okay? And you can argue it up and back. The proof is in the pudding with Craig Counsell. He's gotten more out of his team that has had low payrolls and, in many cases, less quality players than just about anybody in baseball over the last 7 years. With that in mind, that's why they made the move, okay? Is it a knock on David that they fired him? Because, you know, in the case of Ross, I don't think he did anything wrong. I think 83 wins was an exceptional year out of the Chicago Cubs in 2023. That aside, they looked at it, and I'd love your opinion on it. They looked at it, and they said, look, we think we got the best guy in baseball. We have to go ahead and make the move.
Yep. No, I completely agree. And I it's an easy comp to make. But when they got rid of Ricky Renteria and hired Joe Maddon because Joe Maddon became available unexpectedly, I think it's very similar. That was the guy they targeted. That was the guy they saw as the best at the time. And that was proven out as he came in and immediately the Cubs went to new heights. So I have zero problem with that. And to all of the people complaining about the salary. And my thought on this, and you know, this is a little cynicism, I guess you could say, Bruce, for many years of working in this business and covering sports, you're going to pay me, you being the fan, right? You're going to Wrigley Field, you're spending your hard-earned money, you're buying a ticket, you're buying the merch, regardless of whether it's David Ross or Craig Counts or whoever as the manager. Let the Cubs organization or whoever else worry about their own business side. You, the fan who are going to the game, are going to spend your money anyway. So why not have the Cubs, in this case, do the best they can and get what they think is the best and let them worry about their own business side. You'll be thrilled
if they continue
to achieve success. I know that's not fun.
Look,
this
baseball.
Many years of cynicism.
Baseball is owned by owners like the Ricketts family, like the consortium that owns the Chicago White Sox with Jerry Reinsdorf ahead of it. But every penny, Mike, that comes into the coffers of those teams and the other 228 comes from the fans. So the public has a right to their say, Mike, okay? They have a right to say, hey, I don't like $8 million going to a manager when we could have the best utility infielder in baseball that we pay $8 million to help us win. I understand that philosophy. I'm sure you do as well.
Sure. Absolutely. No, I do get it. And listen, they can afford to do whatever they want. The Ricketts family and the Chicago Cubs, you know, in this market with all of the financial tools that they have. I guess my point is I'm not worried about what they spend because you know that they have the means and the income coming in and they are correctly acting. You know, the last guy that had a salary like this is Joe Torre at the time with the Yankees, at the time one of the best managers in the history of the game and in baseball and had led the Yankees to all of those World Series titles. So if Jed Hoyer, who's, you know, controlling the purse strings, has decided that Craig Counsell is the guy he wants running his team and he's worth this, then, you know, I imagine this was a pretty quick conversation between him and Tom Ricketts and the Cubs ownership if Jed went in there and made his case for that. Because they always do say, listen, Jed runs the baseball operation. You know, he runs the business stuff by us. And, you know, we all have parameters that we have to stay in. But at the end of the day, it's Jed's decision, right?
Well, he has a budget, okay? And that comes out of the baseball budget for paying the manager and the coaching staff. That's the way it goes. You know, this year they'll be paying over $10 million a year for their manager because they'll be paying David Ross as well. So with that in mind, I think the only thing, Mike, that the Cubs, that the fans worry about the most is, you're spending $8 million for a manager. Are you going to spend all the rest of the money we need you to spend? And I underline need you being a fan saying, go out and get all the free agents we need to go along with this team so we can win. Again, are you going to spend the money that we think you should spend to win a World Series next year? And that's always where the line is drawn between ownership and fan bases.
No doubt about it. We should mention, too, Bruce, and we did mention, but a huge trade for the White Sox earlier this week. Aaron Bummer to the Braves coming back. Five players, Mike Soroka and Jared Schuster, are pitchers. Nicky Lopez from Naperville North here. You'll remember him from Kansas City, but he was down in the Braves, an infielder. And then infielder Brandon Shoemake and pitcher Riley Goins. So all of that coming back to the Sox, Bruce, and a lot of pieces, and we heard from Chris Getz. We'll hear a cut or two from here, but these are some of these guys are going to plug in right away.
Yeah, well, you know, Soroka is the interesting guy. He was the young ace of the Atlanta Braves going back to 2019-20 when he got injured, and a double Achilles injury has put his career in jeopardy. He's made his way back. And they're hoping that he revitalizes himself on the south side and becomes a part of the rotation. With Lopez, you're going to get a kid from Naperville who played for Kansas City originally, was a number one pick, traded to Atlanta, an excellent defensive player, a guy that can run, can get on base, do the little things that Chris Getz and the Chicago White Sox and Pedro Grifol want their team to be able to do in leading off games and getting on base, just being more able to manufacture runs. He should be a part of that, and a bridge gap between Anderson and between Montgomery, their number one minor league player shortstop, who needs probably another year in AAA, although he's coming fast, having had a really good fall league this year. He is highly thought of, but probably needs another three months, maybe a year in the minor leagues before he's ready. So Lopez would be a stopgap. Schuster, left-handed pitcher, will vie for a spot in the rotation. Brandon Shoemake, an infielder who could make the team as well. And then a right-handed pitcher, Riley Goins, who has a big arm, also from the Chicagoland area, a Libertyville native. So a lot of Chicago area flavor involved in this trade, Mike.
Yep, and a lot of high picks, too. A lot of these guys were first-rounders. Soroka, as you mentioned, was an all-star. I mean, this is a guy that comes with pedigree, although he does have injury. Chris Getz talked to the media yesterday, Bruce, and here's what he had to say about his thought process on making this deal with the Braves.
Is this as close to a no-brainer trade that certainly, obviously, you know, in your role, but going back in just your history in the organization?
It's certainly, you know, the timing of the trade, right? You know, November 16th, there's more offseason here. By us accepting a trade last night kind of speaks to, you know, kind of what bucket this falls into. We felt like this was a really strong offer for Aaron Bummer. Now, you know, you look at Atlanta's side and where they are and the needs that they have. I understand. And just like any deal, you want both sides to feel good about it. And obviously Alex does, and I do as well with helping the organization. So I felt like it was something we needed to act on, because it was an opportunity to really, you know, help us in multiple different areas and set us up for more opportunities this offseason.
You hear Getz there. I mean, these are guys, as I said, the White Sox are going to utilize some of these guys immediately, whereas none of these guys would have fit into next year's immediate plans for Atlanta, and Bummer will go right into their bullpen.
Yeah, so, you know, arguably the team with the most filled out 40-man roster, the Atlanta Braves, and one of the least filled out in the Chicago White Sox, make a trade. So it's numbers for a quality left-handed pitcher in Bummer. I think it's a win-win for both teams, honestly. Bummer had high numbers as far as ERA last year, but if you watched enough of those games, his ground ball rate is extremely high. He's an effective pitcher, a very effective pitcher. The defense let him down, as they did the entire pitching staff for most of last year. So you're going to have a new defense behind the White Sox pitching staff, but Bummer will do well in Atlanta. They need situation left-handers there to fill out what's already a championship-level roster, winning 100 games, being one of the best franchises in baseball. So the numbers is where it's at, and I expect the Chicago White Sox to make more trades coming up here over the next 2 months, where you might see more big names going, and we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. Also, we're going to talk about Craig Counsell. Where did he come from? Who was he before and after his baseball career? We're going to hear from the guy who hired Craig Counsell to be the manager of the Milwaukee Brewers in 2015. Doug Melvin will join us out of the break. This is Inside the Clubhouse. He's Mike. I'm Bruce. We're here for you every Saturday, 9 to 11 at 670 The Score, 670score.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I'm excited to get to know him better and really, you know, pick his brain on everything baseball, because that's, you know, what I've heard the most, is that he's super intelligent and knows the game inside and out. So I'm really excited for that.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, and always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
That was Ian Happ earlier this week with Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi on 670 The Score. Alongside Bruce Levine, I'm Mike Esposito. You have Inside the Clubhouse on The Score. Happ talking about new skipper Craig Counsell. And Bruce, time to head on out to the Circa Sports Illinois hotline, home of the world's largest sports book, to talk to our next guest, who responsible for hiring Counsell in Milwaukee.
One of the great baseball guys over the past 50 years in the game, good friend Doug Melvin joins us on Inside the Clubhouse. And Doug was the general manager of the Brewers when Craig was hired. Doug, welcome to the show. Mike and I appreciate your time today. And your first thoughts when you heard that Craig was moving from the Brewers to the Chicago Cubs?
Well, I think a lot of people were somewhat surprised, but I wasn't totally surprised in that. And I can't get into the reasons why he left or whatever it was, but I know that he was always he's a baseball historian. He loves the old part of the game. And I called him the other day. I told him, like, I'm from the hometown of Fergie Jenkins. And I told him that I visited Wrigley Field when I was 12, 13 years old, drove over from Canada to see Fergie pitch. But that's the kind of history that Craig grew up with in baseball, and he loves history, and I do think he loves to. He's going to love putting that big C on uniform on, and he's a bright guy. When I hired him at the time, I said to Craig, he was done playing. I said, "What do you want to do? You want to be a GM? You want to be a manager? A coach? What path do you want to take?" Because I knew I was going to transition out, and I'd been happy to help him learn the general manager's ropes too, because I was getting to the point, I was 64 years old, transitioning. He said, "I just want a position of leadership where I can have an impact on an organization." And so he took a year and a half and came upstairs, and then eventually said, "I probably belong down the field." He loves being down in the field, and that's where he's ended up, and he's done very well at it.
Doug, as we listened to Craig talk in his opening press conference, and he talked about new challenges and talked about just the, you know, the aura and mystique of Wrigley and stepping into it and already feeling the expectations. I mean, here's a guy who was a successful player and then went right into a very successful managerial role. Do you think moving markets, traveling that 90 miles south, do you think that has any effect on Craig and how he approaches things?
No, I think he's going to be the same individual that's allowed the Brewers to have success here recently, and that he's really the thing I tell people about Craig is that he knows players, he knows the opposition, and if you sit down and you're going to play a certain team and there's a bench player that's only had 30 at bats, he's going to know who that player is. And I know there's some manager that probably will look to his bench coach and say, "Who's this guy? Where did he come from?" You know, that kind of thing. But Craig knows every player on every team. He's not going to be surprised by anyone in that regard, but he's a student of the game. He's going to rely on his coaches, too. He'll delegate to his coaches, his coaching staff. He's not afraid to tell someone, you know, not bad news, but if you're sent down or you're not going to be playing for a while, he's not afraid to say that to anyone either. And he'll do it in a way that he'll keep that player involved somehow, some way. But No, he's been successful, but he's always a guy that, you know, the game of baseball, there's always challenges. I was a GM for 20 years, and, you know, every 3 or 4 years, there was always new challenges in that. And Craig is always up to those challenges, and he's been successful of it as a player, and as a manager, he's shown that. And I saw the press conference where he said, "I'm a little bit scared," and they think that he's looking to this as a huge challenge for him, and taking this job.
That's the voice of Doug Melvin, former general manager of the Texas Rangers and the Milwaukee Brewers. Great baseball man, great person as well. I was lucky enough to get to know Doug throughout his career and mine when I was first starting out into 2015. And Doug, I remember just sitting there at Maryvale where the Brewers train and watching you in a booth next to me in the press box, sitting there with Gordy Ash and with Craig. And I'm looking at Craig and I'm going, "And this guy just got off of the field, okay? And what's he doing here?" So tell us a little bit about his training and how it evolved for him, you identifying him to join the front office, and how he evolved in those roles. What did he do before taking over the manager's job?
Well, he wanted to get involved. He said, "I just don't want to be a name player that's going to dabble into this stuff." He got fully involved. He went out and saw a lot of amateur players. He was very key in our acquisition at the time when we traded Zach Greinke to the Angels and got Gene Segura. And I said, "What better person to go see a middle infielder to see if he can play or not?" And Craig, Zach Manassian, our scouting director, sent Craig out to see Gene Segura. And he loved that part of the game. He loved going out there, seeing high school, college games. He loved going out, seeing minor league teams. He loved to look at the players. And he was very willing to do whatever it took. But to keep his interest in the game, he was always going to be interested in the game. But, you know, if he wanted to have been if he wanted to be a GM, he probably could have been a good general manager, too. I think he could have done that. I just think he had success on the field. He was a great teammate all the time. And I think he saw that the job of a general manager is 12 months out of the year and, you know, 24 hours a day and that. And his kids were younger and that. I think the opportunity to be able to still spend time with his kids off season, I think allowed him to, would have allowed him to do that if he was back on the field. But I think he had such great relationships with players in that, and I think that's why he chose to do that. But, no, he got involved. He had a feel for the analytics. He understood players. You know, the development curve of a player. You know, you look at a player and say, "Wow, this is like Lorenzo Cain came out of high school and a junior college," and then he was very raw. People said, "Boy, I'm not sure this kid's going to make it." In the first year we drafted him, 17th rounder. And, you know, Craig would look at a player like that and always say, "You give a guy a chance, you know, give a guy a chance." Like I always say, the best statistics of a rookie ball player is at-bats and innings pitched. Nothing to do with average or strikeouts or whatever. It's at-bats and innings pitched. Those are the two most important statistics to look at in a player in rookie ball, maybe even A ball as they're developing. And he had a great feel for all of that.
Talking to Doug Melvin, formerly of the Milwaukee Brewers, the general manager who hired Craig Counsell to be their manager. And Doug, as we're talking about Craig, you know, Milwaukee has elevated Pat Murphy to their managerial job. He was Counsell's bench coach. And I know a lot of that staff will be staying then in Milwaukee. So as Craig fills out his staff with, I'm sure, some of the Cubs people and then possibly some new people as well, how do you expect him to go about that? And what do you expect him to look for in people to fill out the Cubs coaching staff?
Well, I'm not really sure on that on the current coach that I'm familiar with the names, but I think Craig will really lean to Jed Hoyer in feeling which coaches and what they can do. He'll visit with them. He'll study them. I don't think Craig's going to be a guy make big changes. I think he can work with a lot of people. He'll just let them know what his expectations are. I think he's a good person that way. He's not going to be a person to come in and I think change a whole coaching staff without knowing who they actually are. in that regard, because, you know, when he took the manager's job in Milwaukee, you know, there were some of the coaches, Chris Hook, the pitching coach, was in the minor leagues, Jim Henderson, the bullpen guys in the minor leagues, and he's gone through a few hitting coaches, and then he brought in Pat Murphy, who is a confidant and a college coach and a friend of his. So I think Craig's, you know, I told you Craig's familiar with the players on other teams and everything. He's probably very familiar with the coaches that are there in Chicago. And I don't see those, you know, drastic changes, but that's not me. I think Craig will do that. But he'll rely with Jed Hoyer. Jed does a great job, and the two of them communicate very well in deciding what's best for the organization.
Doug, in closing with you, Mike and I really appreciate your time on this Saturday morning on Inside the Clubhouse. You look at Craig, and I define him as a winner, okay? When you brought him on to the Brewers as a player, he had already won championships with the Marlins and with Arizona as a part of that. Never a great player, always a gritty player. Try to define what winner is, and when you talk about winner, you talk about Craig Counsell.
Well, he just he had to fight for everything. You know, we talk about Craig, and we used to give this talk to all the players that when you get in the game of baseball, every individual that works in the game, you're either going to be fired, traded, put on outright waivers, designated for assignment, put on the disabled list. You're gonna visit every one of those if you're in baseball. And Craig pretty well did. I think he traded and released and let go and drafted later, and all those things happened. But he kept fighting back. And I think whenever you get knocked down, he's one that comes back up. And that's what he's did during his entire career. And he views that, and that's his what he did is, you know, as a player, and he's going to continue to do that as a manager too. If you have a bad year, there's nobody hurts more than Craig Counsell in that. And you'll see it. He has an edge to him. There'll be an edge where you're talking to Craig and you can sense that, hey, he's not in a good mood today, and let's move on to the next guy and give him his time. But he'll have that edge. And that I don't see him being a big yeller, big screamer. But he'll bring a player in and have his conversation with him. The player will know what his expectations are from Craig Counsell, and that's how I see Craig handling it. But as far as a winner goes, he's every game he wants to win. You know, everybody wants to win a game, and I don't think he'll sacrifice anything. You know, the one good thing with Craig is every September, it felt like the Brewers sort of took off. You know, during the year you'd say, darn, they just hit a tailspin, you know. Are they going to recover from this, whatever? But it felt like every last two weeks of September, they were the hot club going into the playoffs, and sometimes that's all you needed was who's hot at the right time to go on and win a World Series and that. So he's experienced all that, and that's what he's going to bring to the manager's chair.
Doug, have a great holiday season, you and your family. Thanks for taking care of us today and inside the clubhouse. Look forward to talking to you again soon. It's always been a pleasure. Thanks again for your time today.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Bruce. Talk to you later.
That's Doug Melvin, former Brewers general manager, former Rangers general manager, and lots of good things to say about Craig Counsell. And, you know, the info we've gotten from watching him all these years, Bruce, this is a very smart and capable manager, and he's always somehow had those Brewers in contention, and now he brings his talents to the Cubs, and I know Cubs fans are pretty excited about it.
You know, Mike, the thing that he talked about while he was talking about, hey, Counsell wears his feelings on his sleeve, I've experienced that as a reporter many times, where some days you'll go in there and he's a little bit more expansive in some of his answers. And some days when you walk in and, you know, things aren't going well, he'll be short, you know, and he doesn't suffer fools very well. He's a very nice person. He's always open to conversation, but he doesn't mince words much, Mike. He's just a guy, a straightforward guy, very much like David Ross, okay? I think Ross was was always good, maybe a bit more expansive than Craig is going to be, but Craig is an outstanding baseball guy. I think we're going to hear an awful lot of things from him, but I don't know if a 20-minute pregame session with the media every day is something that he's going to be looking forward to.
Well, we are looking forward to getting to know Craig Counsell as he comes in. We need to take a quick timeout, Bruce, when we come back. Chicago bound, could it be a former Phillies first baseman, a position of need for the Cubs? We will discuss that when we return. Also, new Sox hitting coach Marcus Thames will join us during the 10 o'clock hour. And a quick reminder, before Chicago takes on Detroit, tune in tomorrow from 9 to noon for the PNC Bank pregame show right here on 670 The Score, presented by your local Ford dealers and Fox Valley Coins. Join Mully, Olin Krutz, and Patrick Manley as they'll get you set for the game. PNC Bank, the official bank of the Chicago Bears. Then immediately following the game, we'll have instant reaction from Mully, Olin, and Pat on the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew. All of it can be heard on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app. He's Bruce Levine. I'm Mike Esposito. And for David this week, we will do Chicago bound when we return on Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score.
I'm going to tell you something that you all should know. Chicago is the greatest place I ever know. I'm going to stay in this town. I'm going to live in this town. I'm going to live in Chicago. It's the greatest place around.
The Cubs and Sox are off for the winter, but inside the clubhouse starts the hot stove discussion now. David and Bruce take a look at which free agents and trades the Cubs and Sox should explore. Will they trade for a top pitcher or player? Is free agency the way the North and South Siders go? Who's on David Ross or Pedro Grifol's wish list? You help them make the call. 312-644-6767.
As we wonder who is Chicago bound this weekend here and inside the clubhouse, Bruce, we turn to the north side of the city, and the Cubs have a glaring need at first base and a very intriguing possibility out there for the Cubs.
Philadelphia's Reese Hoskins is a free agent, and Hoskins was out last year with an injury, did not play at all. A guy that would fill the position nicely for the Chicago Cubs moving forward. Now, the issue is whether or not the experiment with Christopher Morel at winter ball this year, Mike, playing exclusively at first base, would fill the need of what the Chicago Cubs are hoping to do next year with Morel playing first and not knowing the situation, whether or not Bellinger is coming back, whether he'd be available for them to play first, center, or be on the team at all. So this would be a plan B, okay? And a plan B would be to give Reese Hoskins, who is a predominantly 30 home run hitter, guy that played for Philadelphia first 6 years, good power, good on-base percentage guy, will he be the guy that they go after in the offseason here to augment what is already a pretty good team on the field?
Yeah, so a few things about Hoskins. So he'll be 31 entering the season next year with a birthday in March. He'll be turning 31. He missed the whole season with injury, but as you mentioned, he's a 30-homer guy, and maybe, and this is me speaking, I'm not reading any of this or thinking any of this or reporting any of this, but maybe this is a guy they do on a bridge contract, kind of like what they did with Bellinger last year, where you have a guy coming off injury, trying to rebuild his value. You know what kind of player he is from his, 6 years of experience in the league. And you look at him as a guy that can help you maybe in the short term for 2024.
Yeah, and look, what do the Chicago Cubs need in the offseason here? Now that they do not have Ohtani at this time, they do not have another slugger in the middle. So what do they need knowing that Bellinger might not come back? You know they have the setup guys. You know you have your shortstop, your second baseman that can hit 1-2 or 1-5. You know that you have Ian Happ, who's a decent hitter at two, maybe at five, six, or seven. But what you're sorely missing for the Chicago Cubs is slug in the middle. You have to have three and four hitters. With Hoskins, that would be satisfied. You could put him in three, four, or five because of his RBI potential, because of his on-base percentage potential. Yes, he does strike out, Mike, but that is also part of parcel of what he does. Good first baseman, played on a quality team. So keep your eye on Rhys Hoskins, who is somebody that the Cubs have interest in moving forward.
I would personally enjoy seeing Mr. Hoskins on the Cubs next year. I've always enjoyed his play, but we'll see what happens, right? The Cubs had many first basemen, and we can still discuss that later in the show. Matt Mervis, what happens with him, things like that. Coming up next, though, here on Inside the Clubhouse, our favorite segment, one of our favorite segments, should he stay or should he go? We'll talk about one of the White Sox best hitters and his future with the team. We'll also talk to their new hitting coach, Marcus Thames. All of that coming up in hour two of Inside the Clubhouse as we return alongside Bruce Levine, Mike Esposito, in for David Haw today. This is Inside the Clubhouse on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
That you all should know. Chicago is the greatest place I ever know. I'm gonna stay in this town. I'm gonna live in this town. I'm gonna live in Chicago, the greatest place around.
The Cubs and Sox are off for the winter, but inside the clubhouse starts the hot stove discussion now. David and Bruce take a look at which free agents and trades the Cubs and Sox should explore. Will they trade for a top pitcher or player? Is free agency the way the North and South Siders go? Who's on David Ross or Pedro Grifol's wish list? You help them make the call. 312-644-6767.
As we wonder who is Chicago bound this weekend here and inside the clubhouse, Bruce, we turn to the north side of the city, and the Cubs have a glaring need at first base and a very intriguing possibility out there for the Cubs.
Philadelphia's Rhys Hoskins is a free agent, and Hoskins was out last year with an injury, did not play at all. A guy that would fill the position nicely for the Chicago Cubs moving forward. Now, the issue is whether or not the experiment with Christopher Morel at winter ball this year, Mike, playing exclusively at first base, would fill the need of what the Chicago Cubs are hoping to do next year with Morel playing first and not knowing the situation, whether or not Bellinger is coming back, whether he'd be available for them to play first, center, or be on the team at all. So this would be a plan B, okay? And a plan B would be to give Rhys Hoskins, who is a predominantly 30 home run hitter, guy that played for Philadelphia first 6 years, good power, good on-base percentage guy, will he be the guy that they go after in the offseason here to augment what is already a pretty good team on the field?
Yeah, so a few things about Hoskins. So he'll be 31 entering the season next year with a birthday in March. He'll be turning 31. He missed the whole season with injury. But as you mentioned, he's a 30-homer guy, and maybe, and this is me speaking, I'm not reading any of this or thinking any of this or reporting any of this, but maybe this is a guy they do on a bridge contract, kind of like what they did with Bellinger last year, where you have a guy coming off injury, trying to rebuild his value. You know what kind of player he is from his, 6 years of experience in the league. And you look at him as a guy that can help you maybe in the short term for 2024.
Yeah, and look, what do the Chicago Cubs need in the offseason here? Now that they do not have Ohtani at this time, they do not have another slugger in the middle. So what do they need, knowing that Bellinger might not come back? You know they have the setup guys. You know you have your shortstop, your second baseman that can hit 1-2 or 1-5. You know that you have Ian Happ, who's a decent hitter at two, maybe at 5, 6, or 7. But what you're sorely missing for the Chicago Cubs is slug in the middle. You have to have 3 and 4 hitters. With Hoskins, that would be satisfied. You could put him in 3, 4, or 5 because of his RBI potential, because of his on-base percentage potential. Yes, he does strike out, Mike, but that is also part of parcel of what he does. Good first baseman, played on a quality team. So keep your eye on Rhys Hoskins, who is somebody that the Cubs have interest in moving forward.
I would personally enjoy seeing Mr. Hoskins on the Cubs next year. I've always enjoyed his play, but we'll see what happens, right? The Cubs had many first basemen, and we can still discuss that later in the show. Matt Mervis, what happens with him, things like that. Coming up next, though, here on Inside the Clubhouse, our favorite segment, one of our favorite segments, should he stay or should he go? We'll talk about one of the White Sox best hitters and his future with the team. We'll also talk to their new hitting coach, Marcus Thames. All of that coming up in hour two of Inside the Clubhouse as we return alongside Bruce Levine, Mike Esposito, in for David Haw today. This is Inside the Clubhouse on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.